the business may not do so well down the line because it has an inadequate name that doesn't protect it from competitors stealing its market share.
Hello and welcome to BrandTuned, the only podcast on branding that covers IP, which is intrinsic to business and brands. I'm Shireen Smith, lawyer, brand strategist, and curious business owner, keen to discover the secrets of effective brand building to create a successful business.
You see, when you're looking for the purpose behind a business, find something that's capable of inspiring the team and customers too. You see, your why should be a belief that galvanizes you into making long-term positive changes that drive growth and innovation. A business's purpose needs to motivate team members who are involved in the business. You see, up to now, I'd stuck to my core skills of intellectual property law due to the school of thought that says one should only talk about one's core subject and not foray into other areas. However, given that intellectual property is part and parcel of business, a narrow perspective that purely considers intellectual property doesn't actually serve many of the small businesses I often help. If I only discuss half the issues people face, then I'm potentially letting businesses receive the wrong type of help for their branding. You see, unfortunately, a problem I know exists is that many web developers, designers, marketers who help small businesses with their identity work don't themselves understand IP, so they tend not to take a holistic approach, and what often goes out the window is the legal dimension. So what is arguably the single most important decision a business makes gets sidelined. However, as people don't really understand intellectual property, the consequences aren't really apparent to them. For example, the business may not do so well down the line because it has an inadequate name that doesn't protect it from competitors stealing its market share. You see, intellectual property is just a means to an end. It's rarely the end itself. So when businesses are creating a brand, choosing a name, having a logo developed, and devising their brand identity and promotion campaigns, that's when they also need to take account of intellectual property. IP is simply part and parcel of the exercise. It's not something to do later. So it's appropriate that I offer holistic help and cover non-legal topics too. This is especially so because the wider issues of branding are things I know well, having been in business for 14 years. I read lots of business books, I've done training in business. Indeed, a few clients have over the years asked me to help them with social media and naming too. So I'm capable of guiding a business through the branding process and bringing in consultants to deliver elements that I'm not going to deliver, such as website development, search engine marketing, and so on. Differentiating a business. Now, when you have an offering or a way of doing business that is unique to you, that becomes much easier to succeed as a business. So you should formulate your strategy for how to stand out from competitors and then execute your plans. Differentiation effectively involves working out what messages to communicate to consumers so they know that buying from you will give them a specific benefit. This benefit must be powerful enough to influence a buyer to choose your business over all the other available options. Now, this is easier said than done if the legal market is anything to go by. I'll write a separate post about the issues for law firms. For now, I just want to highlight how possible it is to find that virtually every message you come up with to differentiate yourself doesn't actually distinguish you or competitors are saying the same things. You see, where there is insufficient differentiation between businesses, customers choose on price, and that's the problem the legal industry faces. That's why the business models that are winning in the legal services market right now invariably focus on reducing prices. Differentiation strategy. Well, whether you get help to work out your differentiation strategy or deal with all your own branding and even design your own logo, I can't stress how important it is that you take ownership of the differentiation strategy. You know your industry and service offerings better than anyone else. Once you do clarify how you're going to stand out, you should translate your differentiating proposition into a name, logo, tagline, which embody the values of your business and your positioning. These are the elements of a brand that the law protects through copyright, design, and trademarks, and are usually when people get outside help in. It's really important to know what you're doing when it comes to names and taglines. My Legally Branded Academy course gives you all the insight and search instructions that you'll need to get this important aspect of your business and initial legal protection covered off. Don't assume that people you turn to for help will know all about intellectual property, because often they won't have sufficient depth of knowledge about intellectual property, and many of them don't work closely with specialist lawyers. Now, common problems with brand identities do tend to center around names, logos, or taglines. For example, a commonplace logo may be an image or a bunch of flowers for a florist. Descriptive elements such as this might work from a marketing perspective, but they don't serve you from a legal perspective. You see, if your elements are just descriptive of your products and services, then your names and taglines will be incapable of protecting your market share. The very choice of name itself could actually expose you to loss of revenues. And also, if the name wasn't properly checked, then you risk trademark infringement against you, you know, years down the line, possibly, when your business might have taken off and succeeded. Descriptive names may seem attractive to startups who want their name to immediately convey what it is that they do. However, being simply descriptive means the name can't function as a trademark. That matters, because it means you're going to have a hard time stopping copycats down the line if you have a successful business. Unless you understand both the legal dimension and the marketing dimension when you're choosing brand elements, there is every possibility of choosing ones that are either incapable of functioning as a trademark or which are just not legally available for the user. Now, why are descriptive names a problem? Well, hotels.com is an example of a descriptive name that the business has been unable to register as a trademark. They've spent a lot of money in pursuing registration and arguing with the USPTO, but they haven't succeeded. Bear in mind when choosing names that on the internet there are no shop signs or geographic areas to attract passing traffic. With an online shop called books, for example, someone driving past, I mean an ordinary shop, will notice the bookshop for reasons other than its name. For example, the shop may stand out due to its striking window dressing or because of its location, or simply because it's now there instead of the print shop that used to occupy that space. Online shops is a different story. You see, on the web, people will only find you through your name. So the last thing you need is to get lost among a sea of similarly named businesses. You should definitely opt for very distinctive names for an online business, similar to Google, Twitter, Amazon, Yahoo, and so on. It's not for no reason they have those names. Now, had John Lewis come up with a tagline that said, "We'll refund the difference of goods if you find them at a lower price elsewhere," that would have conveyed their ethos and values, but it would not have been capable of trademark protection. By going one step further and converting this concept into never knowingly undersold, they ended up both with something catchier and with a unique tagline that is capable of trademark protection. A while ago, we introduced a strapline for Asrites, Easy Legal, Not Legalese, which we've trademarked, but admittedly not made much use of. What it means when you can secure trademark protection of a slogan is that competitors may well copy your differentiating idea behind your slogan. For example, branding themselves by reference to their use of plain English, but they won't be able to copy your strapline. In the early days, that may seem unimportant when a strapline isn't well known, but it's by protecting it and making use of a strapline that businesses like Nike have become synonymous for "just do it," or Coca-Cola is immediately recognized when we hear "the real thing." If you don't protect brand elements like slogans, then your distinctive branding will become generic, as others can and will make use of it. So it's when a brand is successful that it pays off to have built and protected the brand elements of its identity carefully in the early days. So think about legal protection of your branding once you're serious about your business, because it can potentially comprise 70% of the value of your business.
My guest next week is Monica Jansen, a copywriter, editor, and content strategist who helps small business to mid-sized companies create relevant content, get it in front of their target markets, and reach their business goals. If you've enjoyed the podcast, why not join my newsletter to receive fortnightly updates giving more insights on aspects of brand creation and brand building? Just download my 7 costly mistakes with your business and brand, and you'll be added. Details are in the show notes.